Brother Neil and Pastor Wyatt being their preachers. And they will start us off on the first one, but then we'll ask you for some questions as well. Let's take our Bibles and stand. We're going to go to Colossians 4:6 and 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter 3:15 and Colossians 4:6. Stand once you get your place there. Colossians 4:6 and 1 Peter 3:15. Those are our two jumping verses there. And the goal of the Sunday night series right now, Extraordinary Biblical Answers for Ordinary Biblical Questions, is to be ready to give an answer to those people that ask us a reason of the hope that's in us, regardless whether it's a biblical question or quandary or a rebuttal as to why they should be saved. We want to be able to give an answer. So Colossians 4:6 and then 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. Bibles may fall open to that spot, and then it may not. Amen. So let's read Colossians 4:6 first all together. Everybody there say amen. Oh, man, y'all sound like the Joy Robbers got you. Amen. Everybody there now say amen. All right, a few more got away from Joy Robber. Amen. All right, Colossians 4:6. Let's go ahead and read that one together. Here we go. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man. And that's what we want to do. And as a matter of fact, look verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. That means those are without Christ and outside the fellowship of the saints. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. And let's read that one together as well. 1 Peter 3:15. Here we go. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Father, speak to our hearts now as we look at exploring more questions that may be asked of us or things that may be said in regards to winning people to Christ, and also, Lord, in regards to just normal questions that people ask on a regular basis about the faith that we have and the faith that we share. And I pray that your hand may guide tonight. And Lord, we may leave here a little bit more equipped to handle an unsaved world, an inquisitive world that is asking ordinary questions that, Lord, can be answered with an extraordinary Bible, Lord. And so I pray that you would help us tonight in our discussion, Lord, and help us to glean and learn a little bit more about Christ tonight. We may be a little bit more Christ-like in what we say and what we do and in our responses. We thank you and we love you, Lord, and praise you for being a good God, Lord. Thank you for saving the souls today. Now watch over us and work through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. All right. So we're talking about being able to give somebody an answer. And I'm going to ask Brother Neil this first question, and Pastor Wyatt, you can chime in as well if you've got some input, because this is something that normally people will ask when you go door knocking. What is the difference between being a Baptist and a Catholic? Or what is the difference between being a Baptist and a Lutheran? Or what is the big difference between being a Baptist and a Buddhist? Or a Baptist and a Congregationalist? Or a Baptist and a Southern Baptist? Most times folks will ask you, what is the big deal about that? Now, Brother Neil, I know we can get technical and answer a lot of things, but how would you answer that on a door knocking situation? Amen. 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 And that's a good, clear, simple answer. Now, why did he mention work salvation? Because most do teach works. And the Bible clearly says, not by works of righteousness, what we have done. By his grace, we are saved. Okay? Pastor Wyatt, what would you say on the door knocking situation? Amen. 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 And both of those are great answers be able to give someone on a door knocking situation. Now let's change it just a little bit. You knock on the door and they say, I'm Catholic. Then what do you say? Or they say, I am Congregationalist. Then what do you say? Or they say, I'm Lutheran. Then what do you say? Ms. White? Amen. 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 Yes, Faith. Amen, amen. And relationship is important, and they're interested in spiritual things. That is important. So giving them encouragement in that may open them up a little bit more. Deferring them, like Mrs. White said, takes them away from membership into relationship, and that's important as well. Tam? Right. Amen. Amen. Oftentimes you will hear them say, I'm a member of such and such a church. I'm a deacon. I'm a this, I'm a that. The most important thing is not the membership, but it is the relationship. That's the most important. Are they born again? You know, and one of the easiest ways that I think is probably the approach that combines what Mrs. White says and what Ms. Faye said, combining those together and saying we're not talking about membership, we're more important in the relationship and your relationship with Christ. And it is good that they're interested in spiritual things. That does mean they've got an inkling, at least. They're not total heathen, I guess, if you would say amen. And so then capitalizing on that. Pastor White. Amen. Amen. Quite a few. Right. Amen. And let's change the question just slightly a little bit more. How about if they say, I don't need to be saved because I am a Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, Lutheran, Seventh-day Adventist. Amen. No, so they say, I don't need to be saved because I am a blank. Then what biblical references can we give them? That's right. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay, amen. Pass what? There's none righteous, no, not one. Amen. Brother Neil? Amen. 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 And again, all these are smoke screens to not answer the question. Our job is to see the smoke screen and then kind of part the smoke, you know, and go beyond that with a biblical application in some way and being, what's the word I'm looking for? Inviting, engaging, without being caustic, without being condemning or demeaning to them in any way, but being complimentary, like Faye said, it's good that you're doing this, but have you been born again? Like Brother Neil said, hey, the Bible says, except a man be born again, all right? Now, here's the question that stops us. What if they say, well, I don't believe the Bible? Ms. White? We'll come to that one too. Yeah. Okay, amen. Amen. So what if they say, I don't believe the Bible? Amen. Yeah, that's why. Amen. 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 And one thing that we have to understand too, they cannot get saved without the Bible. They cannot. They are saved. We are saved by the Word of God. If we don't have the Word of God, we can't be saved. So if they don't believe the Word of God, they can't be saved. It's just simple as that. And so, I mean, you can go with the verses like Ms. Faye, you know, all scriptures given by inspiration of God, profitable doctrine, reproof, you know, except man be born again. We can go through all those scriptures, but at the end of the day, we can't make them believe it. Now, we can give them supporting proof of things that validate the Bible, but at the end of the day, they still have to accept it by faith. And they have to believe it. But if a person says, I don't believe that, there's really not a whole lot you can do for them. There's really not. So we have to understand that there are scriptural references that we can give to someone that if they say, I don't believe the Bible, but it would be foolish of us to go further because they don't believe the Bible, then they don't believe hell because the Bible is a hell doctrine. You know, they don't believe in heaven. It's a doctrine of biblically, you know, God. That's a biblical doctrine. So they don't believe the Bible, where is that's going to come from, we're going to be hard-pressed to try and get them saved. And there are many people that do not believe the Bible for various reasons. Yes, Ms. Dawson? Amen. 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 You know, and like Ms. Dawson said, never underestimate the power of personal testimony. Of how God changed you. Never underestimate. Let me tell you what happened to me. Is that not what Paul said? He did it to Festus, Agrippa, and Felix. Let me tell you what happened to me. And like Ms. Dawson said, a testimony of what God did. You hear me talking about all the things that God rescued me from all the time. I am not proud of what I did, but I'm excited about what God did in rescuing me from that. Amen. Faye? Amen. And think back to our seeker email. When he said, stop using Bible, what did I do? Kept using Bible. I just didn't give chapter and verse. Do I have to give chapter and verse? No. I don't. It's still quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, whether it's got chapter and verse or not. It's still not going to return void whether I got chapter and verse or not. Amen. So I didn't stop giving him the word of God. Amen. And at the same time, I wove in their personal testimony of what God did in my life. Did he get saved? Don't know. But I know one thing. He got a good dose of the word of God. Amen. All right, so that's that one, dealing with religion and things of that nature. One thing we've got to realize is that, and I don't want to say this and sound like I'm being hard or cold-blooded, but we're not really so much interested in their church membership as we are in their Christ relationship. We want to use that as a stepping stone, as a tool to navigate, but we're more interested in their relationship because that's what's going to make the difference at the end of the day. Do they have a personal relationship with Christ? Amen. That makes the difference. If they have no relationship, they're not going to have any salvation. So church membership is just a stepping stone to get there. So when they say those things, I like Brother Neil said, except the man be born again, cannot see the kingdom of God. I don't care if you're a Baptist or Methodist or whatever you are. You're not born again. You can't see that. Amen. All right. So here's another one here. Why do you think your way of heaven is right? How would you answer that? Why do you think your way of heaven is right? And I've got my answer that I would give them. Why do you think your way to heaven is right? Now. That's exactly what I would say. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So it's not my way. I didn't say it. I'm just quoting what Jesus said. I'm just on his pathway. He said, I'm the way. I trust that way. Now, you can go your own way if you want to, but it's a dead end. Jesus said, I'm the way. So it's not what I said. It's what Jesus said. He said, I am the way. So that's how I would answer the question when somebody would ask me that. Yes. Amen. Amen. And Mrs. Dawson hit on another goldmine alongside of John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. By the way, when he says no man, what does that tell you? No man can come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Why is that true? Yeah, he did say it. But how can we validate that? He died for our sins. So we've got to go through the sin bearer to get to the Father. We got to lay our sin somewhere. I can't lay it with me. I'm bad off by myself. And so we lay the sin on Christ who died on the cross. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. But then Mrs. Dawson goes over and quotes 1 John 5:11-13, that ye may know that yet most religions don't know. They hope, they guess, they feel. They say, I'm a member, and if I do X, Y, and Z, I remember talking to my sister years ago, and there was some issues about religion. I said, well, how do you know when enough is enough? She said, well, when you do this, 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 this. I said, how about you get to heaven? And God said, that's not enough. You should have done one more thing. I said, so there's got to be a way you can know. The Bible tells us in 1 John 5:13 that you can know that you have eternal life. No guesswork at all. By the way, if it's a loving Father and he wants you to know that you have something, don't you think he'll confirm that you have it when you get it? Amen. And so 1 John 5:13, very, very, very good. And so when someone asks me, why do you think your way of heaven is right? I would just quickly go to John 14:6. And that's a good one. Acts 4:12 is another good one. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we what? Must be saved. There's another good one. I mean, the Bible clearly says there is no other way. Amen. Yes, Jamila.
And then like before that, verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And then 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And 18th, go on. And then if I needed to witness again further, I'd go back to Romans Road or Romans 6:23, and say, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus, period.
Amen. Not your church membership or my church membership, but
I'm solely placing your faith and trust in the finished work of the cross.
Amen.
And that's what I usually say when I have like Jehovah's Witnesses ladies knocking on my door. I tell them that I'm born again. I believe in Jesus Christ only. Mm-hmm. And
truth hurts, sister. Truth hurts.
But like lovingly though, but that's why I go back to the show that it's not your church that's going to save you. Jesus finished his work on the cross.
Amen. Amen. Now, by the way, on that note, is there anybody else that has said they were the Son of God, they were going to die for the sins of the world, they would raise themselves the third day, proving that they were God? Has anybody else made that claim? That puts Jesus all by himself. Nobody, Muhammad didn't say it. Buddha didn't say it. The Hare Krishners can't claim it. Christian scientists can't investigate it. That's just, I mean, it puts us in a total category. Yes. The tomb is empty. Amen. So when you look at that, he's validated in saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's validated in saying, whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting. He's validated in everywhere when Paul, the Acts says, neither is there salvation in any other. What was the main reason they wanted to get rid of the Jews? Because they kept preaching the resurrection. If it didn't happen, what's the big deal? Just take it as a fairy tale. But it was raising fuss. Amen. All right, here's another one on the same line of thinking. Along with why do you think your way of heaven is right? I think one way is just as good as another as long as I'm sincere. You believe Jesus, I believe the rock. I'm talking about a literal rock. And so I pray to the rock. You know, the rock hears me. The rock does me, bless me. And the rock gives me this, that, and the other. And so I'm trusting the rock to get me to heaven. You trust Jesus, I'm sincere. So will God truly judge me for being sincere about the rock? Yes. And that's mine. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but then there are the ways of what? Death. If you know the sign says road out or bridge out and you continue to go down there, whose fault is that? But you sincerely believe that the road's not out. even though the signs are posted, rode out in 100 feet, rode out in 50 feet, rode out in 25 feet. Ah, I did just joking. So much for the joke. If people fail to see the signs, God is not going to force someone to go to heaven. He's not going to do it. Amen. You're going to either trust God or not. So a person can be sincerely wrong. There is a way which seemeth right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Again, except man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's clear. That's plain. I still go back to Brother Dunn. When he was leading me to the Lord, I had all these questions, many of the questions I'm talking about right now. He just kept coming back to, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Except a man be born again. I'm like, well, but you ain't answering this question. He said, brother, is that going to make a difference if you're not saved? Wages of sin is death. All have sinned and come short of God. I said, but what about this? And what about this? And what about that? Wages of sin is death. You know? And after a while, I thought, man, I'm not getting anywhere. I'm going to die asking questions and go to hell. I said, I can't do this. Amen. Here's another one. Folks say quite a bit as well. Why would a loving God send people to hell if it's so bad? How are you going to answer that? Why would a loving God, if he's a loving God, why would he send people to hell if hell is so bad? Tasha? Amen. Amen. Brother Neil? Amen. So in other words, it's like the sign out, road out, road out, road out. I keep going. And sooner or later, I send myself to destruction. Amen. Amen. Now, you will hear that often, believe it or not. Tasha's absolutely right. God's a just God. He's got. Now, would you imagine how this world would be if we never punished sin? From little baby that comes out the womb, nobody ever gets punished for sin. The cops don't enforce sin. Don't enforce speeding laws. Don't nothing. Anything goes. I can just come into your house and take your ISIS. What is that thing she got? Alexis. I can come and get your Alexa. She's shaking her head. No, I can come and get Terrell's Xbox. Definitely not that. If there's no law against it, I'm not going to get punished. What's stopping me? I'm going to take your TV too. I have something to watch it on. Who's going to stop me? My daddy got a gun. You know, can you imagine what this world would be like if no one ever punished sin? So God's got to punish that. Yes. Amen. Amen. Now go over to 2 Peter real quick with me on that, along the same lines as Pastor White's talking about. Because as Brother Neil said, that God does not send people to hell. They go on their own accord. But as Tasha mentioned, God is just and he's righteous. He's got to punish sin. Think about it, parents. Don't you discipline your children? So don't you think a heavenly father is going to do much more? Amen. Except it's righteous discipline. Now 2 Peter and chapter 3 and... talking about what happened back in the days with Lot and how Sodom and Gomorrah and all that crowd got dealt with. And notice what he says down in verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be what? Punished. And so we see in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. That's good too. Amen. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Although I'm coming to 3 and 9. But back in Lot's day, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. So we know that he is going to punish sinners. But then come over to chapter 3 and verse 9. That's when I really want it. Verse 8 says, But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. You hear these hecklers, why don't God just come and punish? Come and get me now. You ever heard those folks mock God? Well, if God's really a God, let him strike me right now. One of these days, he's going to really do that to somebody. And it's going to get on YouTube. This guy said, God, strike me down. He got struck down. That's going to go viral like that. And folks are going to get right with God. Amen. Now, when is that going to happen? I don't know. Amen. But that, y'all saying, if I was God, I'd do it. Amen. But see, God's long-suffering. He's not like us. Notice verse 9. The Lord is not what? Slack concerning his promise. What promise is that? That he's going to come and restore judgment and deal with sinners. Amen. As some men count slackness, but is what? Long-suffering to usward, what? Not willing that any should, what? Perish. So it's not God's idea to send people to hell. But that all should come to what? Repentance. But he lets you know, but the day of the Lord will come. It's going to come. And folks are going to say, uh-oh, maybe I was wrong. I know maybe either you were. And it's not going to be good. So God does not send people to hell. They're going to go because they reject God, and God's got to punish sin, and he's got to punish sin. And if sinners have sin, guess what happens? Where did our sin get judged at? In Christ, on the cross. He took all of our sins on the cross. He died for our sins so that we don't have to, and we exchanged eternal life for the punishment of sin, and he paid that price. And so we have eternal life. And so people may ask you that, amen. And Pastor White says, John 3:16, amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, which is true. I am the way, the truth, and the life, amen. So God is not going to send people to hell. They will go there because of their rejection of Christ. Amen. 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 And that's a good one here. And this is the last one I'm going to give you guys, because you're going to get this one as well. If God is so holy and so righteous, why does he allow suffering in the world? Why does he let it to continue? I hear it all the time. Why does he let the third world countries go through famines? And why does he let these mass murderers over here and the drug cartel be so successful? And why does he let Hitler do what he did and Idi Amin in Africa slaughter these folks and all the folks in these Muslim countries kill people? Why, if God is so mighty, why does God let all this killing and suffering continue to go on? How are you going to answer? Amen. That's a good one. G. Now, we could use that, but if you were in the adult Sunday school this morning, we can't use that one for the unsaved. That's the only caveat with that one. Now, we can use it for us, the saved, but we can't use it for the unsaved because it's not going to work out for good for them. Not going to work out. But that is a good one for the saved people. Amen. So when you had to fix the flat tire, perfect. Amen. Perfect. But we can't use that one. So the sin is there. Ms. White said, all have sinned and come short of God. That's true. That's true. What other verse can we use? Why so much suffering in the world? How about Romans 5:12? Let's go over there real quick. Romans 5:12. Romans 5:12 begins to let them know where it all came from and why there is suffering. Romans 5:12. Who's there already can read that? Go ahead, Terrell, read that. Okay, he's already established that all have sinned, all right, in Romans 3:10. Okay, Ms. White? Amen. 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 Now, who's kept nursery lately? Okay? Imagine this. You go in the nursery, let the kids do whatever they want to do. You just sit back and let every kid do what they want to do. What's going to happen, Tasha? Somebody going to get hurt? Is that suffering? Why? Because of pain. Sinners will sin. That's what they're going to do. And you leave that nursery just for a second. Somebody's going to clock somebody over something. That's mine. Pow. You know, then that one's crying. Then this one comes over and pulls the hair. Then that one comes over and punches in the gut. And next thing you know, you got a little kid scratching and biting. That's what they do best. Ah, I can't use these, but I can use these. Ah, and they'll bite. Who passed by you had your hand? Amen. 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 So the suffering is because of the sins. Melly, you had something you were going to say as well? Amen. And they do think it's right, but God's going to hold them accountable because it is wrong. Amen. And Faye, you had your hand up as well? Oh, Miss White? Or, no, it was President Neal. Amen. 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 And that's a very good approach on the soul-winning application because you are looking at the suffering out in whole, but now let's narrow it down. Are you and I suffering? Yes. Why? Because of sin. Amen. That's why Romans 5:12 is a good place to start with. Romans chapter 1 is a good place to start with, giving a lineage of that. But at the end of the day, it is all because of sin. I mean, think about it. Cain and Abel. I mean, sin. Amen. Just like in the nursery, we got to have the standard. You know, no kicking, scratching, biting. If so, Tasha will have to go through first aid and doctor somebody up. Amen. So when you look at this, why is there so much suffering in the world? We know it's sin. Of course, Romans 8:22 talks about it. Romans 5:12 talks about it. There is going to be sin and suffering as a result of what happened way back in the Garden of Eden. That's where it all started. That's where we're at. But we have to bring them into that personal relationship. Let's talk about the suffering in your life. But let's go a little bit further. Let's talk about the suffering maybe you inflicted on somebody else. And why did you do it? Sin. You just had to go back to the Ten Commandments. You can find it right there in the Ten Commandments. It starts very early. So as we look at trying to answer some questions, I'm really trying to get us to get some spiritual biblical juices flowing as to how would I answer this, because somebody may ask some of these things and they may frame some of these questions up. Now, whether they're being sincere, whether they're trying to avoid the answer of where do I go when I die, we don't know. But we should be willing and ready to give an answer to them biblically and be able to stand by it and back it up and say, this is what the Bible says. So at the end of the day, it's not going to return void. We've got to use Scripture. Amen. No matter what it is, we've got to use Scripture. Now, are there certain things that we do that are preference? Yes. You let them know that's a preference. But if it's biblical, it's biblical. It's biblical. By the way, does the Bible say thou shalt have Sunday school? No, that's a preference. We have Sunday school. Amen. But we don't have to have Sunday school. That's a preference. Amen. So there are certain things that we do that are preference things, that are traditional things equipped with Baptists, but you don't have to. So somebody says, well, the Bible says we got to go to Sunday school. You just erred. No, you don't. Now, that ain't no excuse for you to stay home. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a matter of some is. Amen. If the church calls for a meeting, guess where we should be? In the meeting. Amen. Just like the school assembly. School calls assembly, guess what? You don't skate out and play hooky. Amen. You come to the assembly. Amen. So what the church dictates, then you join up with that and you orchestrate underneath those guidelines. Do we have to meet on Wednesday? No, we don't have to meet on Wednesday. Can we meet on Thursday? Sure. Can we meet on Friday? Yes. Can we meet on Tuesday? Yes. And we've met on Tuesdays and we've met on Thursdays. Amen. We've done soul winning on Saturdays. We've done it on Thursdays. We've done soul winning on Tuesdays. Brother Duffy and I do it Thursday mornings. Amen. So there is no chapter and verse that you should, but you should do it. You should outreach. You should go ye therefore and teach all nations. You should go. But there's no set on how we do that. So be careful when you're answering questions. Don't put doctrine, a biblical doctrine, on something that's not Bible doctrine. Maybe it's a principle. But if there's no chapter and verse, be careful for saying our church stands on the Bible and the Bible says we got to go to Sunday school. Be careful. And be careful. The Bible does say not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So be careful as you're answering questions. We got a few more that we're going to talk about next week as well. Again, the whole goal behind this is to stir you into being able to form answers to the questions that people may ask you and be able to stand confidently behind it. And, you know, not this kind of scream and say, well, I think the Bible says it in there somewhere. You ever had that? Yeah, the Bible says this in there somewhere. I know it's in there somewhere, isn't it, preacher? And it's in that Bible somewhere. You look, and you'll find it one day. It's in that book somewhere. Amen. 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 And as Ms. Dawson said, never be ashamed to tell somebody, you know, I don't have that off the top of my head. Let me check into that and I'll get back. Never be ashamed to say that. That gives you time to pray, and it gives you time to research, and gives you time to get your repertoire full, and you might come back with a little bit more ammunition. Amen. Then you come back and say, remember you asked me that question the other day? And you've got a whole bunch of stuff. You load they wagon up. Amen. So never be afraid to say, hey, you know, that leaves me right now, but let me get back to you on that one. And then come back to him. Don't leave him hanging. Amen. That's right. Call me. Call Pastor White. You can call Brother Neil. Hey, when they ask you this question, what'd you say? Brother Neil say, you're a bonehead. Get right with God. he would never say something like that. Amen. But you do have some advantages there with having Brother Neil here and Pastor White and myself and Mrs. Dawson, Mrs. White, and Ms. Hall, that we can help you out. So never be afraid to tell somebody, hey, let me get back with you. You'd be surprised at times that I told people, let me get back with you. And I got on the phone with Pastor Bennett. Pastor Bennett, they said this, where I go? Chapter and verse, chapter and verse, chapter and verse, chapter and verse. Okay. You said, the Bible says. From whence hast thou this knowledge? I am a scholar. No, I called Pastor Bennett. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your goodness, God. I pray that you would help us, Lord, as we will have people that ask us of the reason of the hope that's in us. Lord, first of all, they've got to know that we're Christians, we're saved. And Lord, I know that as we talk more freely about you and about what you've done in our lives, Lord, others will ask us of the reason of the hope that's in us. And Lord, inevitably, we'll get a chance to share with them the gospel and ask them about their soul and ask them how they know that heaven is their home. God, give us the understanding of what verses to give them by the Holy Spirit guiding us and directing us to the appropriate passage of scripture that will be applicable for that person that we're dealing with and talking with, and pray that you would move in our lives in a marvelous and miraculous way. We thank you for your love and your kindness toward us, Lord. Now work in us, work through us as we leave here. God, I pray that we have left we'll leave here with a little bit more understanding under our belts as to how to answer when folks ask us, Lord. And we'll have the privilege of talking to someone this week about Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Dismiss us with your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor White's got a couple things real quick. We do have the men's meeting, so men, don't forget about that. Pastor White, come on up. That is this Saturday, yes.